Because I'll tell you, it's not easy today to be a teenager, especially when you have so many opportunities to fail. Hi, this is Tom Newell. I'm going to discuss what I consider the athlete's performance process. And what this means is that I will give you examples of areas that preoccupy and sometimes sink a student athlete's progress and development in a successful fashion because of the things that they have no control over and weigh them down. And I call that the sinking feeling. And it's somewhat the post effects, which are burdens of thought and worries, also known as the combustible fuels. But when you look at an eighth grade through college, even, because I've used this template with intercollegiate athletes as well in all sports, the things that kind of bring them down, the sinking feeling of the playing time, the stats, relationships, social life, fear of failure, for those kids in high school thinking about college, and the ones in college that are thinking about, you know, graduating on time and the subject matter and the time that's required for studying, and then also you have sports demand for time, and the sleep, the rest, the expectations, you know, of family and the coaches and teammates, and then the frustrations that go with being a student athlete, and the cultivated stress. And I say the cultivated stress comes from one where you surround yourself in a negative environment, okay, and you allow it to evolve and develop, you know, and you allow this thought process, I'm not any good, I can't do any better than I am, they're stronger, they're better, they're quicker than I am. And then you have the social part, you know, making the right choices, the value decisions, and all these things continue to bring a person down, you know, and one of the areas that I'm really concerned about today for all athletes is improper eating habits, poor nutrition. Because if you start your day and you don't eat breakfast and you limit yourself to one meal a day, I guarantee you that you're not going to perform at the optimum level when it comes to practice or games. If you think that you can just go ahead and sit down and eat for 45 minutes, a pregame meal or something like that, and that's going to be enough to sustain you in an active role on your team where you're playing a lot of minutes, you're starting, you're coming off the bench, you have an active role, you're going to fail. I'm going to tell you that right now. And so that's another thing that brings you down. Now, once you're able to identify this, okay, that sinking feeling, and you identify it by listing on one side of the paper, a piece of paper, all the things that weigh you down, okay, and just cause you distracted thought process, and you know, nobody else knows what's going between your ears but you, and you write these down, you list all these things that are distracting to you. What you do then is you turn that piece of paper over, and now you write down the things that you know you have control over, all right? And what I call that the effect of an athlete's mind, okay, when you rise to the occasion. That means that, you know, you're eating properly, you've established attainable goals, you're fulfilling them daily, not only athletically, but also academically. You're visualizing success in all things. You know, your time management, you know, you have that down, you're just not lazing around, you're actually applying a discipline towards practice and to your study habits. You know, there's better time for preparation, you know, before the game, before practice. You know, you're focused. You're just not, like you're wired up on two bags of Skittles and a supersized soft drink, you know, and then you're going to go out in the court and you're just setting yourself up to make mistake after mistake. So you're rising to the occasion because of your mental preparation. And then the spiritual strength, taking time, you know, to make sure that you're thankful for the opportunity, health-wise and the opportunity to have a team to be a part of, and it's really important, and for your family and the support that they give you. You also have your academics in order. You realize where your strengths are, and you realize where you need help, and you seek that help. Your leadership comes out. You know, you understand that being on a team, you're one of 12 leaders on that team. And that means that people are looking at you and the things that you do. And you accept that responsibility, which is really important. And obviously, it's very important to always know that what you put into it, you're going to take something out of it. So it's important to have a blast with it. You know, it's got to be fun. If it's not fun, then don't do it. And I've always told, kids that participate in sports, you know, I tell parents first, but I tell kids, hey, if it's not any fun, then don't do it. Just walk away from it, all right? You don't need to beat yourself up mentally and physically over something that you don't want to do. And then, you know, I think one of the things that's really important that you do have control over, and there has to be a cognizant application here where you want to seek out where you can be a positive influence in your community, and that is volunteerism, you know, volunteering in your community. And when you do that, that's something you have control over. You're giving, you're serving, and I think that's important. And then the other thing is being able to accept and trust the support of your family and friends and your teammates and coaches and teachers. When you have that, there's a better opportunity for you to succeed than not. And so you have an understanding of the sinking feeling and then rising to the occasion, okay? And just remember, those combustible fuels, they explode, okay? And just to peruse the template here and go over it with you, those fuels are the external feelings, okay? Pointing fingers, blaming others for your own mistakes, becoming easily frustrated with mistakes on the court or the field, perceived lack of perceived success. You know, you thought you'd do better than you did, and now you're dealing with adversity. So there's a tendency sometimes when we face adversity, we become mute. We separate ourselves. We get quiet. Our shoulders drop. We don't want to be around anybody. We're not interacting with our family, friends. We isolate ourselves. We remove ourselves. And I think that's selfish, because then when you do that, it's saying that, woe is me, you know, I need somebody to make me feel better. Oh, I need to do something to make me feel better. I need to drink something to make me feel better. That's a bunch of baloney, all right? You don't need that, okay? Trust your teammates, trust your coaches, trust your family and friends. They're there for you. They can give you all the strength that you need to get through any adversarial situation, all right, that seems to be a distraction at that time, bringing you down. So when we become separated from the team, our friends, and our family, because we're going through this adversity from malperformance in our own mind, or perhaps we missed the shot to win the game, and so woe is me, and so we decide to withdraw, or we decide to drink, you know, to ease the pain away, or do drugs or something like that, or do something that we know we shouldn't do. Those things are combustible. They bring us down. Those external feelings have a tendency of almost drowning us in self-pity, and you can't do that. That's wrong. And then if you have this continual feel of failure before teammates, friends, and family members, then what happens is you become, you know, easily upset with the little things, and that continues to evolve and manifest itself in a very negative effect and way towards any type of recovery and seeing yourself successfully. And I think it's very important that you understand that the reactive behavior of these external feelings is anger, distress, unhappiness, and that empty feeling, almost depression-like, and recognize that every athlete that I know goes through some type of depression, okay? But you can snap out of it if you communicate. Don't let it bury yourself. Talk to your parent or parents about it. Talk to your best friend on the team. Talk to somebody that isn't associated with the team and get their feedback. Don't talk to people that are going to tell you what you want to hear, all right? Because that doesn't help you, and that just prolongs, okay, the feeling that you have, that emptiness. You want to quit. You don't care anymore. Okay, those are selfish. You don't want to do that. You don't want to remove yourself from something that you've invested so much time in and effort, and you've had a lot of success, more success than you've had failures. Don't put yourself in that vein of selfishness where I hate it, I want to quit, and I don't need anybody's help, and da-da-da-da-da, because there are people out there, there are friends out there, there are teachers out there, there are counselors that can help you, all right, through any any type of activity that you're having difficulty with, and also to help you in being able to prepare to be successful in your next exhibition. And then finally, you know, when we do take these things and keep them within, there's a tendency of imploding. And what happens is that that emotional distress overtakes us, and we end up breaking down, crying at just the well, when I say crying, I mean really getting emotionally upset at the most incredible small things. Okay, and we're really sensitive to our parents. They say something, and the voice inflection is such that we think that they're mad at us, or we think that they hate us, or that they're disappointed in this, that, and the other. And so we may go ahead and get emotionally upset, slam the door, you know, or yell out and scream back, something that we normally wouldn't do outside the confines of our home. And so understand what that is. Understand the depression, it builds, okay, and you have control over that. And the best way to have control over it is to be able to talk about the feelings that you have, and don't keep that to yourself, all right? If you're not happy with your activity, if you feel that you're not getting better, or you feel that you're the worst person or the worst player on the team, talk about it. Ask your coach what you can do better. Develop a relationship with your coach that will teach you and help you to improve your skills every time you step on the court or the field. Don't become antisocial, all right, in that your friends want to go out and after a game, or they want to go over to somebody's house and the mom has made a cake, or, you know, going to go play video games, or whatever. Just don't remove yourself to where you distance your behavior in an antisocial way. That's just really important. The other thing that I see happening is when young people implode, is that they have this paranoia, you know, that goes with, there's no way out, nobody can help me, and so this oversensitivity evolves like this. The kids end up feeling that they're not any good in that activity. They're not very good in school. Okay. They don't feel that they're ever going to get out of this. And so when anybody says anything to them, anybody says anything to do better, to encourage them to do better, we're not listening. All we're thinking about is that I suck. I'm not any good. I'm not going to get any better, and leave me alone. And we don't say it. All right, we don't verbalize that, but our body language and our actions dictate that. And then, you know, we can't trust anyone's feelings and thoughts, and that's true. I think a lot of times I've counseled kids that, you know, they go ahead and they open up, and they'll either talk to me in person, or they'll go ahead and they'll email me, and they'll say all the things that they know is going on in their life and what's wrong, but they don't listen. They, you know, it's just like, Houston, we have a problem. Hello, Houston, we have a problem. And it doesn't matter. They won't take in the information. So what I found in that situation is that you need to find somebody that you don't know, all right, that you trust. Now, how does that happen? Well, there could be a teacher that really doesn't know you, all right, but you trust them because they've taught you something about life and about a subject matter that you may not necessarily apply today, but you have enough respect for them and their life experience and what they've shared with you at that point that you would like to ask them a question about what you're feeling. And they may or may not be able to help you, but I guarantee you the fact that you're able to verbalize and release those feelings that you're having at that particular time in your life is really going to help you. All right, and it's just very, very important. The other thing that I have found true, and I learned this from Dr. Bob Rotella, a renowned sports psychologist who I met at the University of Virginia back in the early 80s when he was working with the student athletes there, is that there's a learned helplessness that we experience. And by that I'm saying is that sometimes we're afraid of success. And so we will sometimes sabotage our good experiences and balance it out with bad experiences. And so that may be I end up doing very well in a game, and now it's down towards the last 3 or 4 minutes. And I don't want to be in that situation where it's a close game, and I don't want to be the one that has to take the shot. And so I end up either fouling out of the game, use basketball as an example, or I may end up getting injured, but not that bad. But I don't want to be out there at the end. I don't want that responsibility. If you find yourself having those kind of thoughts, if you find yourself being afraid, all right, of failure, then we have to talk about, okay, that sinking feeling, because that has a lot to do with having the courage to compete. And if you don't have courage, all right, that goes with the passion and the desire and the purpose that makes up who you are as an athlete, as a student athlete, and going through the regimen of practice and then putting on a uniform and competing, then what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for future problems and a real serious, serious failure issue. And so that's something that you need to talk about. A lot of coaches don't talk about failure, okay? They don't like talking about negative things. I don't think in basketball that failure is a negative. I think failure is an opportunity to learn. I think failure is an opportunity to grow and be successful and to improve upon what you made a mistake in or with. All right, so then how do we get out of that, and we've taken control on the other side of the paper. In closing, we have the rising to the occasion, and we've listed all the positive things that we have control over. And then what you do is you end up seeing, all these things topically and cosmetically that I'm worried about really do bring me down. But when I sit down and I write down the things that I do have control over and I eliminate those things that I don't, you know what, I feel a lot better about who I am. And so what we end up doing is we elevate ourselves above the mental anchors that keep us down. We rise above adversity, the poor practice, the game, overcoming injuries, nagging injuries or whatever. It's just, if you're going to play sports, I want to tell you right now, you're going to hurt at some point. If you don't, that means you're sitting at the end of the bench with the trainer or the manager, all right, and the only time you might get hurt is if you accidentally trip over somebody who put their foot out and then you bang your knee, okay? Because if you're going to play sports and practice every day, some part of your body is going to hurt because of the effort. All right. I don't know anybody in sports that never ached somewhere after working very hard, giving their best effort in a practice or a game. So just remember that. That's just part of the process of playing sports. The other is you got to let it go daily. Okay. You got to take all the negative things that happen. You had a fight with a boyfriend, girlfriend, or you had an argument with somebody in class, or you ended up not turning in a project and the teacher got upset and embarrassed you in front of the other students. Let it go. All right. It's over. It happened. You were wrong. Take responsibility. Move on. Okay. Don't talk about it like you hate this person. I hate that person. I hate this teacher. I hate this subject. Quit making excuses. All right. Now, one thing you'll hear from me is that I can help you, we can help you with your mistakes, but we can't help you with your excuses, all right? So remember that. We'll help you with your mistakes, but we can't do anything with your excuses. And so you've got to apply that discipline, and you've got to apply that self-assessment, and take responsibility. And it's just very, very important. When you do that, now you're going to be moving beyond, okay? And that means you're going to go to another level. All right, of cognizant awareness, okay, and performance, because it's something that you've taken control over, and I think that's exciting. Now, one of the things I'm big on when it comes to kids in sports, eighth grade through high school and college, and even professional, is I always talk to players about visualization, okay, about taking the time to visualize and meditate on the strengths and the weaknesses that you have as an athlete in your activity. If you don't take the time to visualize what you have to do to be successful in practice in that game, and think that when you lace up your sneakers or you get ready to go on the field and play or practice, that it's just going to turn on, it's not like that switch on the wall, okay? All right? You've got to have within the time, the effort, and the discipline, okay, to sit down and visualize, three or four things that you're going to focus on and be successful with. Those are attainable daily goals. And when you do that, all right, that allows you to release those burdens of thoughts and worries, those fuels, all right, those combustible fuels. And then by visualizing success daily in all things, You know, you end up being able to separate yourself from teammates that, you know, are very hyper and want to talk about social things and this, that, and the other. They're going to see right away that you're focused and that you're ready to practice. And that's part of the leadership now. Don't forget that. That's really important. The thing that I think is important for student athletes to do in sports, any activity, is I really encourage keeping a daily journal entry. Reflect on your practice that day. Evaluate yourself. Did I give my best effort? Did I really work as well as I could have worked? You know, did I listen to the coach? You know, did I listen to all my coaches? You know, I may not agree with them, but did I listen to them? Did I do what I was asked to do? And in basketball, did I talk on defense? Did I block out? You know, did I make the extra pass? You know, how was the screen that I set? Was I consistent in my effort? Did I sustain my effort? And those are really important. When I talk about a daily journal, I'm not talking about MySpace.com or some other .com journal, okay? I'm talking about something that you sit down and you handwrite, okay? And you record and you keep it to yourself. And it's very, very important you understand everything that you do publicly and you post and what have you is really unfair to you in your development as a student, as an athlete, when you want to go ahead and put those kind of things on the internet through daily drafts and reflections, okay? Keep it personal, because the book that is completed, all right, is going to be one that you look back upon and you go, gosh, you know, I'm really glad I did this. I really learned so much about myself when I kept this journal going. And I was able to overcome so many obstacles that I put before myself, but I learned from it. Okay, and then I think that it's important, you know, on the day of a game, all right, so that you can rise to the occasion after you do this visualization and you meditate upon the opportunity of being able to help your team in a contest, is that you have really good thoughts about your teammates. Okay, don't predetermine that, you know, you don't like playing with so-and-so, or even entertain thoughts from another teammate that you don't like a certain teammate because you think you're better than they are, but because the coach gives them more opportunities to shoot, or the coach runs the offense through them, that you don't have any opportunity to excel. You know, let that go, because all that's going to do, that's an anchor, that's weighing you down, and I guarantee it's going to affect the way you play, and it will affect, in a close game, affect you down the stretch. The last thing that I think is really important here is that the leadership on and off the court, as you get older and you have that independence and you're given the license to drive, which is another form of independence, there are going to be decisions that you're going to make when your parents aren't out there. And even those that are passengers, you're a freshman in high school, you're a sophomore and you're a passenger. And you know that the state law says that you're not supposed to be riding in a car with a teenager under the age of 18 unless it's a family member. And you make a decision that that's what you're going to do because you need a ride home. And the person that you're going to get a ride home with, you know, the parent didn't show up, or they said, well, you're going to have to find a ride. Don't ever compromise. Don't ever put yourself in that situation, okay? Make a value decision on your life. And make a decision that you know that your parents would be proud of. And they may never have to know it until later when you come back and say, you know, Mom, you know, Dad, you know, you raised me right, because I had a chance to go home with somebody that had been drinking, you know, or been under the influence of, you know, an illegal substance. And I thought about the values. I thought about the things that you told me about making a right decision. And I didn't do that. I ended up walking back, or I ended up taking a cab, or I ended up going home with another friend's parents. I didn't drive with that person. And I just, you know, I want you to know all the intrinsic values of what it is to be a parent in raising me. I really see now the love and the care and the interest that you had for me as I was growing up. And I think that when we reflect like this and when we make right choices, it has everything to do with how successful we are in school and in our extracurricular activities. Because I'll tell you, it's not easy today to be a teenager, especially when you have so many opportunities to fail in making wrong choices. So, again, elevate above the mental anchors that keep you down. Identify and accept those combustible fuels that bring you down, okay, and have an ability of being able to explode within internally and then create further problems. All right, this has been Coach Tom Newell sharing this wonderful moment with you on an athlete's performance process. Be sure, if you have any other information that you would like to share with us or open up and discuss, go on to FamilySportsLifeToday.com and log on and join us. Be a part of our team. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. If folks listening have a question or comment on this or any other Family Sports Life Today program, please give us a call and we'll try to use it in a future episode. We're at 206-202-6224. That's 206-20-COACH. Or send us email, familysportslifetoday@gmail.com.
And please visit our website at familysportslifetoday.com. You can listen to these programs online or subscribe and download them to your iPod or other MP3 players. If you subscribe, you will automatically receive future episodes.
Hey, coaches. Hey, parents. Hey, kids. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a great family sports life today.